There was no famous comeback on the final night of the quarterfinals as Inter and Manchester City booked their spots in the last four of this season's UEFA Champions League. Stadio San Siro was rocking as Inter drew with Benfica to set up a Derby della Madonnina with rivals Milan in the semi-final. City will renew their battle with Real Madrid after seeing off Bayern. So much to talk about over the next 30 minutes. Welcome along with myself, Chris Parrott. Delighted to say the former Tottenham captain, Jenna Scalacci, is alongside me. Very impressive from Inter and Manchester City. They did enough. We were wondering before kickoff whether we'd get one of those dramatic Champions League evenings, but the two teams who were in control after the first leg never really looked like they were going to relinquish it.
No, I think two very professional displays. I think obviously we were working over the Man City game, and I think, you know, the first half they come under a lot of pressure from Bayern. Bayern had a lot of opportunities, but they managed to ride it out and get the job done into half time. And then the coming out the second half, and obviously Haaland getting that goal. I don't think it was ever in doubt when they went in at 0-0 at half time, but Bayern certainly had their own opportunities.
They certainly did, not just in the second leg, but over the whole course of the tie. So Wednesday night's results: Bayern 1, Manchester City 1. City threw 4-1 on aggregate, and it finished Inter 3, Benfica 3. Inter threw 5-3 on aggregate. So this is the semi-final lineup, and I mean, it is fascinating, mouth-watering. You can choose any superlative you want, in all honesty. It is going to be Manchester City against Real Madrid once more. And it is also going to be a Milan derby, Jenna Scalacci. And we'll get onto it later, but it would be remiss not to mention that at the top. A Milan derby for a place in the final of the Champions League. That is going to be special.
Yeah, I mean, rivalries, and it's going to be something, isn't it? And two teams domestically are in similar form, really. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, amazing to get, I mean, we say it about getting an English team, two English teams at that stage of the game. But yeah, I mean, it's got a bit of a special feel to it, hasn't it?
Certainly has. They have met in the knockout stages before. Two clubs who, of course, have won this competition on so many occasions. And just your immediate thoughts on the fact that it's going to be City against Real Madrid. That was quite good last year.
Well, yeah, and that's like two. I mean, Real Madrid historically been very successful in this competition, and again, another cracking semi-final.
Certainly is. We're gonna listen back to some of the commentary from last year, when actually Richard Kaufman, who now joins me, was behind the mic when that semi-final took place, and Real Madrid impossibly actually came back right at the end, and Manchester City will celebrate their win over Bayern, but will very quickly know that next up is the holders.
Yeah, it was extraordinary a year ago from Real Madrid when they looked out, not for the first time last season, en route to the final. But Manchester City tonight, it was interesting, you know, watching their performance. I felt like it was not really typical of a Manchester City performance we've seen before. They were quite conservative. It was a case of coming here tonight, getting the job done, tick, through to the semis.
And this is how they did it. Richard Kaufman and Jenna Scalacci were watching Bayern against Manchester City. City, remember, took a 3-0 lead into the second leg in Bavaria.
Now the counter is on. De Bruyne to Haaland. This is his third chance. Haaland, surely Haaland scores. You can only deny for so long. The striking Viking has done it for Manchester City. And surely that is the goal that kills the tie. No from the penalty spot, no 5 minutes ago, but this time he gets Manchester City's goal. Bayern 0, Manchester City 1. And Manchester City now lead 4-0 on aggregate. Bayern with a chance to go level, though, on the night and at least give their fans something to cheer. The whistle has been blown. Kimmich now steps up, right-footed, sticks it down the middle, and Bayern have their goal. It won't help their way into the semi-final. They're still going to be knocked out, but at least they have something from the evening and something they probably deserve. Kimmich with the goal from the spot. Bayern 1, Manchester City 1, but City 4-1 up on aggregate.
Yeah, over the course of the two legs, Bayern had so many chances, but it wasn't until that incredibly late penalty that they actually got past Manchester City's stout and very effective defence. Richard and Jenna alongside me now. Erling Haaland, fastest player ever to 35 Champions League goals. Richard, took him 27 games. For some context, that's 15 fewer than Ruud van Nistelrooy, who did hold the record. It took Haaland 27 games. It took Lionel Messi 55 games and Robert Lewandowski 56 games. I mean, even if he missed a penalty, in the end, it was his class that shone when it came to finishing.
Yeah, it hasn't taken him many games, although it took him a few chances this evening. I mean, I would be mouth aghast and almost dumbstruck, but I knew I had to commentate when he stuck it over the crossbar for the penalty in the first half. He had a chance as well just before his goal to open the scoring, but, you know, you don't want to give him too many opportunities. They gave him one too many, and he does what he's been doing all season long. His statistics are incredible. He's such an intimidating force. He has such confidence. He could be the missing piece in this jigsaw in a UEFA Champions League competition that's eluded them. But, you know, they are in the semi-finals for the third successive season. I'm not sure, though, I would make them favourites to make the final, but that's to come. Tonight, they weren't ruthless, but they were efficient. They got the job done. They did enough, because it, you know, we wondered, could Bayern get their opening goal? They had the chances, didn't take it. If Bayern had scored, would we then see a different Manchester City to what we saw? Would they come out more? We'll never know. But, you know, in the end, it was, I suppose, in hindsight, more than when we were watching the game, quite comfortable.
Yeah, I think, you know, even when they got their goal, you saw how they were managing the game. They weren't just going for it then to get another goal, Man City. They were being very clever with how they were playing. Mm-hmm. They were using their experience. They were slowing the game down. They weren't rushing anything. You could tell that it was a different looking Man City tonight, but they ultimately just had to get the job done, and they'd done that by half-time.
Would it be fair, actually, I completely agree with you, that They're a different Manchester City this season as well, in somehow the way they play. We know that they don't play with these two ultra-attacking fullbacks anymore. There's definitely tweaks from last season, and here they are, what, 2 months away from the end of the season, and the chance to win the treble remains.
Yeah, last season, it was all about Benzema and what he did. Now we've got a player for Manchester City who scored 12 UEFA Champions League goals this season. You're talking about all the records that he's breaking at the age of 22. You know, the big shock is if he plays a game and he doesn't score. You know, I mean, it's incredible. I think it's 15 goals now in his last seven games. You feel not even reached boiling point yet in this season. And, you know, to have psychologically a player like that in your team when, you know, the chips can be down, but suddenly, you know, you're going to hit the team on the counter-attack and you can rely on him, albeit this time, but the third time of asking to do the job, it proved to be critical in the end, as, you know, silencing the crowd inside this football arena München tonight.
Let's hear from Ruben Diaz now. He says it was key that Erling Haaland did score after he put his penalty over the bar in the first half.
Yeah, essentially, it was a very important goal for us, obviously for him as well, but essentially for the team. He gave us a different way of being in the game. We were able to clear our heads a bit more, knowing that we were still not finished, but definitely a massive win from the team and from the club today.
Ruben Diaz there. Jenna, you're a defender for many, many years with Tottenham. We always speak about Manchester City's attacking talents, but over these two legs, how impressed were you with the way collectively and individually that they managed to keep Bayern out.
Yeah, I think they were solid, weren't they? I think even when you look back at the first leg and the opening early stages, that Diaz block, how important was that? The Ederson saves. And I think tonight, even on a night where, as we said, they were comfortable tonight, but they still didn't. They were so disciplined, out of possession, defending, still had recovery runs coming in and bodies on the line and blocking, even when they were, 4-0 up there on aggregate. So, yeah, I think really professional, and their standards throughout the team, and that comes from Pep and those high standards. They deliver week in, week out, and yeah, I think they've been solid throughout the first and second leg.
Yeah, I agree. Although, the story could change so much if Bayern had a Lewandowski or a Thomas Müller to stick away one of those chances that they created, especially in the first half. You go back to maybe the biggest chance of them all from Leroy Sané in the opening 20 minutes. There were others as well. There was plenty of dramatic moments in that first half too. The red card that was overturned because offside, Upamecano thought he was on his way. Then we had the penalty and that was missed too. Then the chances for Bayern. It was a really entertaining first half, 0-0, but Erling Haaland before the hour mark gets his goal, and then suddenly the crowd goes silent and job is done. But we'll never know, but what would the story have been if Bayern had got an early goal? How would that affect Manchester City? As I say, we'll never know. They did the job. Well done to them. It's a convincing two-legged win. The groundwork had come first leg with a 3-0 win in Manchester.
And I think we know that next season when they're back in the Champions League, Bayern, and you could see some of the tactical tweaks, I think, from Thomas Tuchel. And they were able to get in behind Manchester City quite a lot on the left-hand side of their defence. But so you can see, this time next year, when they'll hope to be back in the quarterfinals with the talent they have, that they'll be rivals again for City and Real Madrid and whoever else gets through. But over the two legs, we're in agreement, right, that City were too strong and deservedly went through.
Yeah, I think comfortably in the end, they definitely deserved it.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think anyone, not even the most fervent Bayern supporter, would disagree with that. We know Bayern have got the talent. They are the dominant force, even if it has been a little tighter this season in Germany. They're six times European champions, but Manchester City are going to go from a six time European champion to one that's won double that amount. So, out of the frying pan into the fire, as they say.
Certainly is. So we'll preview their semi-final shortly, and we'll review Wednesday's other Champions League quarter-final second leg.
UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Well, Wednesday night's other game saw another side in need of a big comeback performance. Benfica, remember, trailed Inter by 2-0 heading into the second leg at Stadio San Siro. Richard Connolly, watch this one.
The space for Barella inside the box, checks back, shoots and scores! Scores marvellously into the top corner. Inter ruthless on the counter-attack. And that derby with Milan in the semi-finals feels very real now. There's a great cross, and there's a goal for Benfica by Frederik Auerstes. He thumped the header past Onana. It is Inter 1, Benfica 1 on the night. 3-1 on aggregate. DiMarco's low ball! And converted by Lautaro Martinez for Inter! It goes to Correa, who dances round his man and scores! A wonderful goal! A tremendous impact from Joaquin Correa, and there is true delirium inside the Stadio San Siro. Oh, it's a goal for Benfica. They've curled one in, they've pulled a goal back, and flicked in by Antonio Silva. 5-2 on aggregate now. Benfica are trying to get a third goal, and they've got a third goal. And the substitute Petar Musa has cracked it home. It means Benfica will not be beaten on the night, but it's Inter 3, Benfica 3. 5-3 now over the two games.
Richard Connolly with the commentary joins me now. Six goals, Richard, in the end. But Inter, by the sounds of things, were always in control, right?
Yeah, usually when you use the words six goals, you follow it with the word thriller, don't you?
You do, yeah.
But I don't think we could really go there this evening because, yeah, Inter had a pretty strong grip on the tie from the first leg, winning 2-0 in Lisbon. So they were in control, and they played with a degree of control throughout. When they got the first goal of the night through Barella, who took his chance really, really well, that just enhanced the difficulty for Benfica. They did battle well. They had a really good period at the end of the first half with Asnes' goal from Rafa Silva's cross. They worked it really well. And for that little spell, they were just moving the ball more quickly and had more fire in their bellies. They brought on David Neres at halftime, and he was darting around and certainly was a little bit of a thorn in the side. But Inter's second goal, and I thought Federico Di Marco down the left-hand side all night, both defensively and going forward, was excellent. He set it up for Lautaro. It was 3-1 when Correa came off the bench and beat his man, curled it in off the inside of the post. Inter went to sleep, frankly, for the last 7 minutes of the 90. David Neres hit the post when Brozovic made a ridiculous mistake. Antonio Silva got the flick from the free kick, and Musa scored right at the end in the 95th minute. So it was never enough for there to be drama. Benfica would have had to have scored four times in those final minutes to bring us back and give us the potential of extra time. It was never really there. There was no jeopardy. Inter, I think, started thinking about what was to come before the whistle had gone. They, at their best, they're an excellent side. They've had plenty of down moments during the course of the season. They've been beaten 11 times in Serie A this season, and here they are in the last four of the elite club competition in European football. So something's not computing somewhere, but they were good enough tonight, and they've got enough experience and talent. They had enough to get the job done.
Yeah, so they're fifth in Serie A, top four other Champions League places in Italy. They lost to Monza at home at the weekend. They lost to Spezia not so long ago. They lost to Empoli at home as well this season. You never quite know which Inter is going to turn up, but over two legs against, remember, Richard, I think I'm right in saying, before the first leg of the quarterfinal, Benfica were free scoring and free winning it. I mean, it's a huge achievement for Inter, this.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And for Simone Inzaghi, a real thrilling semi-final awaits. One of these Milan sides is going to be in the final. Mm-hmm. We are going to have an Italian finalist for the first time in 6 years. So that's quite a big deal for the league and for the country as a whole. But Inter, the team, champions under Antonio Conte, what, two seasons ago? Second to Milan last season with Simone Inzaghi having come in. Now dropping down the table, there's a real possibility that one of the two clubs won't make it into the top four and won't be back in this competition next season. Maybe even both, if they were to get overtaken by Atalanta, who are in close attendance. And now, of course, this semi-final, you know, is an extra focus for them. So this has not been a great season domestically, but in European terms, they do have tremendous experience. They are well organised. They've been good enough, although you've mentioned the defeats, they've been good enough to beat Barcelona to help knock them out at the group stage. They've been good enough to beat Napoli in the league, who are the runaway leaders.
Yeah.
They've seen off Milan a couple of times. And they were very professional in the previous round against Porto when only one goal was scored over the two legs. So at their best, they are very hard to break down, and they have a mixture of power and speed and guile in attack. They worked very hard tonight. That was the thing that Simone Inzaghi had outlined, that, you know, we need to foil them with our work rate, was what he said prior to the match. And they did that. And that's why I think Di Marco was so key, because he was absolutely brilliant going back and coming forward.
Simone Inzaghi, just the sixth Inter coach to lead the Nerazzurri into the last four of this competition. Stolen that stat from UEFA.com reporter Paolo Menicucci, who came on Matchday Live before the game to preview it and was talking about the great coaches they've had in the past. Jose Mourinho, of course, the last to win it for Inter in 2010, and Simone Inzaghi has led them back to within touching distance of a final. A quick one on Benfica, Richard Connolly. They've thrilled us this season with young players, dynamic players, a great attacking style. They'll be hugely disappointed to go out, but it must, in the summer, when they look back on it, very proud of what they achieved.
Yeah, most definitely. And we've got to remember that they sold last season's big hitter up front, Darwin Núñez, to Liverpool at the start of the season. And then midway through the season, sold Enzo Fernandez, the key linchpin in their midfield, to Chelsea for all the money that they received for him as well. And they've still been able to adapt, and they've still been able to compete and get through to this stage of the Champions League for the second season running. So, I mean, it really is a terrific underlining of the sensible way that they have strengthened the side. Young players coming through, like Antonio Silva, the centre-back, mm-hmm. who's at the age of 19, has played a full season, you know, began the season having never played for the first team, but by November was on a plane to the World Cup. So they've got big talents coming through the academy, as has usually been the case at Benfica. And marrying that with some experience, you know, they've proved themselves to be a significant force on the continent once again.
And they will hope now to win the league title in Portugal and return to the Champions League next season. So it finished on Tuesday. It finished 3-3 between Inter and Benfica. Inter going through and Bayern 1, Manchester City 1. City going through on Tuesday. Remember, Real Madrid beat Chelsea 2-0. And it finished Napoli 1, Milan 1. So Madrid and Milan went through. And it means this is the semi-final lineup. A reminder, Real Madrid against Manchester City and Inter against Milan. The first legs, the 9th and the 10th of May. The second legs just a week later. So it is Real Madrid against Manchester City again. A repeat of last year's semi-final, which, as we briefly touched on earlier, was exhilarating. A reminder of what happened, if you can't remember, if you've forgotten, if you can barely believe it still happened. The first leg, ridiculously entertaining. City 4-2 up with 10 minutes to go before Karim Benzema scored to give Madrid hope. Off to the Bernabeu, 0-0 at half-time. Then Riyad Mahrez scored to put City 5-3 up on aggregate, and you thought they were through. It stayed that way until the 90th minute. Then inexplicably, this happened.
Benzema at the far post puts it across, and they've got one back! Real Madrid have a lifeline, it's Rodrigo! Surely Real Madrid can't do this again. Carvajal, can he get the cross in? Yes, he can! They've scored! Rodrigo's done it again! Unbelievable! Two goals in the space of, what, 90 seconds? This is remarkable! Real Madrid do not know when they are beaten. They lead 2-1 on the night, and suddenly it's 5-5 on aggregate. Karim Benzema, deep breath, steps up, right footed, strikes it, sends the goalkeeper the wrong way, and Real Madrid have turned this semi-final on its head. Real Madrid now lead on aggregate by 6-5.
It took extra time, and as if by magic, and well done to the bookers. Richard Kaufman's here again. I mean, listening back to that, it was crazy.
It was, and particularly that Real Madrid had done something similar against Paris Saint-Germain, wasn't it, in the quarterfinal as well?
And Chelsea as well, on the run to winning it last year.
It was extraordinary. You know, I don't know what the players and Pep Guardiola will be thinking going into the semi-final this time around, but I'm sure there were, you know, going into this leg, you know, how many times did I hear about mountains needing to be climbed? Revenge, I think, will be the word that will be spoken a few times for Manchester City and their supporters. You know, Rodrigo's got a couple of goals yesterday, hasn't he, again, after hearing him bag a couple there late on. It's going to be a terrific tussle, and the incentive is huge for both Real Madrid and Manchester City because, you know, with respect to the Italian teams, the Milan teams, you would say, wouldn't you, if the winner of Real Madrid and Manchester City are going to be the favourites in the final. So, as if there wasn't enough of a carrot dangling, there's extra incentive there.
I think the manner in which Man City lost the semi-final last year, I think, so close to it, and I think that will hurt the team. And you know, you often learn so much in those matches, and I imagine Pep will never want to feel like that again. So what an occasion to get your revenge, like you say.
Just want to say one extra thing. You know, Manchester City are in irresistible form right now. They're 15 matches unbeaten. There are some big gains between then and now for Manchester City. You'd expect them to beat Sheffield United in the FA Cup. Sheffield United look like they're getting promoted, but they're a championship team. But say Manchester City slip up against Arsenal, the momentum might have slipped a little bit for City by then. We'll see. Or they win,
yeah,
and suddenly they're even buzzing more than they were heading into the quarterfinals.
Yeah, and the first leg this year is at the Bernabeu, and the second leg is at the City of Manchester Stadium. Richard Connolly joins us as well, a four-way chat on the semi-finals. We talk a lot about past defeats having hurt teams and how psychologically that may alter both teams, I guess, before this match. Do you agree with that, or do you think it's a different season, there's a few different players and it's a totally new occasion?
I mean, I think my feeling on the Real Madrid-Manchester City semi-final more than anything is just one of excitement. I thought that the two games that they produced last season were among the greatest games of football that I've ever seen. I mean, the standard was so astonishingly high. Mm-hmm. Manchester City were the better team, I felt, on both of the occasions. But Real Madrid's finishing ability, Benzema's obviously to the fore, was so terrific that they made the absolute most out of a bare minimum of chances. And when the moment struck, pounced on the doubts that they'd managed to create in Manchester City minds. A City better than last season. They're certainly different, and they are as good, I think, in a slightly different way with this goal machine up front now. Real Madrid, you'd have to say, would be as powerful again, with Vinicius Junior another season wiser and better.
Yep.
Among others, the young guys in the midfield. I mean, I just look forward to it wholeheartedly. I think it'll be cannot miss radio when those two teams come head to head again.
Yeah, and it'll be the same at San Siro, right? A Milan derby. They met in the semi-finals in 2003 when Milan progressed. They met in the quarter-finals in 2005 when Milan progressed. But just quickly, because I know you were watching the Benfica game and the atmosphere. What it will mean to the city, I remember being in Milan in 2016 when the finals at San Siro, neither team was even in the competition, and there were a lot of people who were quite sad about that around the city. Now they're both back, and as you've mentioned, one of them is heading to Istanbul with the chance to win the whole thing.
I think it'll be a totally different semi-final to the Real Madrid-Manchester City affair. I mean, so much pressure, so much emotion, all heaped on these two games. The bragging rights, the possibilities, maybe even the only way of qualifying for the Champions League next season. Certainly the most simple way now is to win the whole competition for both. I mean, it's possible that one goal could even decide it over the two legs.
Cannot wait, and neither can Denzel Dumfries, who believes a derby date with Milan is just reward for Inter's efforts this campaign.
Amazing effort, amazing what we did until now, and now we will face Milan in the semi-final, special match as well. Before tonight we didn't speak about it because you have to also respect the Benfica as a very good team, a very dynamic team, very good with the ball. So the full focus was on Benfica today, and after that we have time to think about Milan, but first things first.
Let's put everyone on the spot. Who is the favourites to win the Champions League, Richard Kaufman?
Ouch. Manchester City.
Manchester City.
I have to go Real Madrid now.
Love it. Disagreement at the end. Thank you very much. What a night it was. What a quarter-final it was. And Matchday Live is back on Tuesday, the 9th of May, for the semi-finals of this year's UEFA Champions League. Two epic ties on paper. We can't wait. Don't forget to download this podcast shortly after we are off air. But for now, from me and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.